Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. It's pretty important, this pushback. Attorney General Austin Knutson has joined a coalition of 21 other states that are pushing back against, well, a lot of things. I mean, you know, is the EPA trying to take us out? I wonder about that. But here's the World Health Organization. They've got a so-called pandemic agreement, which Knutson says gives the global non-governing organization the unprecedented, unconstitutional powers over the American people. Going to have that today. So we'll talk about that. As I mentioned, the EPA, a lot of things going on there. I think they're trying to take us out. Right now, let's just get right into it. And a lot to get into as we welcome Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knutson, fifth-generation Montanan, grew up in the Culberson area. He's got some Bobcat blood in him. He's got a little bit of Grizz blood in him. Mostly it's though the blue and gold, and has done a great job as our Attorney General. How you doing, Austin?
I'm great, Tom. How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for being on today. Appreciate that. What's top of mind for you? What's going on?
You know, it's National Law Enforcement Recognition Week.
Yes,
so been doing a lot of that. But we did a great event on Monday in the Capitol Rotunda. It was very well attended. We had Trooper Lewis Johnson, who, if your listeners will remember, he's a trooper last year who was run over by a suspect attempting to flee. Trooper Johnson's now in a wheelchair, unfortunately, but he did survive. He's got a great outlook on life, but that's a tough situation for him and his family. But, you know, we're taking the time week to really remember our fallen law enforcement officers. I was in Missoula just last night. The Missoula Police Department and the Missoula County Sheriff's Office did an absolutely beautiful memorial service at their memorial park there in Missoula. This is a time to remember and commemorate fallen law enforcement.
I'm glad that their deaths stay with us, Austin. And I think it does. I think we need to continue to do this and highlight that. And maybe that didn't sound right, but we remember. I think we remember. What do you think? Can we forget? Can we get complacent about the job that these guys do, guys and gals?
You know, I'll tell you, Tom, it's one of the great things about Montana, truly, is that we really do back the blue. I mean, it's not just a saying here in Montana. It motivates my faith, right?
Yeah.
We see a lot of law enforcement officers leaving blue states, leaving unfriendly towns and cities, and coming to Montana because they know this is a great place to be a law enforcement officer. Montanans like police officers. They like sheriff's deputies. They like highway patrol troopers. That's a great thing. So I'm encouraged. I think you're right. We do need to keep this in mind. We need to remember these people, these fallen officers, and thankfully, Montanans really do step up and do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of places where, and they touch all of us in some way. I think there's everybody out here in this great state of ours knows a fallen officer or knows someone who is a first responder in that regard who has made great sacrifices, and that's another way to keep us you know fresh and to keep us appreciating what they do for us. What does it take? Does it take the same courage and determination that it did 10, 15 years ago? Or, do we need a whole new sense of courage to deal with what we got going on today?
Oh, I think it's absolutely tougher now than it was 15, 20 years ago. No question about that. I think if you asked veteran officers, they would tell you the same thing. Montana's facing a population increase, so just increase calls for service, right? I mean, just start with that. You're going to get called out more often. But look, the dangers are more than Montana has ever faced before. This is not Mayberry anymore. We've got fairly well-documented known cartel activity in Montana, increased levels of violence, violent crime, crime against officers, unfortunately. Fentanyl, I mean, good Lord, just the prospect of an officer coming in contact with fentanyl and possibly going down on the job, I mean, that's a risk that didn't exist just 5 years ago, Tom. And now that's something that every officer in the state has to consider. It's absolutely a tougher job now.
What can we do? I know the legislature, it's resources. What do they need? Your officers, Austin, what do they need from me?
Well, I mean, funding is always an issue, and I get that that's a tough thing to talk about. I mean, I'm a fiscal conservative. I spent time in the Montana legislature. I've helped balance that budget. I understand that's a tough ask, but honestly, probably the biggest problem we're facing in Montana right now, Tom, with law enforcement is cost of living. Troopers on the highway patrol, sheriff's deputies, PD officers, that's not a high-paying job. But when you're asked to move to Gallatin County in Bozeman or Kalispell, Flathead County, the cost of living in western Montana is just gone up astronomically. And we just simply can't pay law enforcement officers enough. Yeah, I mean, even to relocate from an unfamiliar place, it's very common. They'll come here, they'll interview, they'll fall in love, they'll want to make the move, they'll say yes, and then they'll look at the price of a house. Yeah. And they go, oh, never mind. I can't afford to move to Bozeman. That's a real challenge we have for us in law enforcement. We're having a real struggle with retention. So pay is a huge deal for us.
Is there some way, is there some cooperative that can be formed that might help? I know I'm just spitballing here, but to help with housing, is there something that can be done, especially for law enforcement officers or first responders? How do you work on that issue? It's a tough one.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to work with the legislature. But look, I mean, there's definitely some private opportunities here. And I have had some productive conversations with some developers in Bozeman who understand they've got a transient problem, who understand they've got a crime problem. And they're saying, hey, you know, what if in my next subdivision I had X number of houses dedicated to law enforcement and we had them at a lower rate? Or, you know, what if in the next apartment complex I'm building, we did something similar? We're having those conversations with some builders, and they're it's quite positive. So that's certainly a way that we can do kind of a public-private partnership, I guess, for lack of a better term. But, yeah, I mean, stuff like that, we're having to get creative, Tom. We're even getting to the point where, and I hate to even say this because I don't think the state should be in the landlord business, but we're even looking at, you know, do we have to actually put in some housing somewhere in some of these high home value areas and provide some sort of housing for our law enforcement officers, because it's getting that dire.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a temporary thing. I know those values have gone up. They could go down. A lot of that had to do with the pandemic. So I don't know if it's temporary or more permanent, but definitely I appreciate you looking at solutions there. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson with us again, has represented House District 34 in the legislature. In fact, was the youngest ever Speaker of the House of Representatives. So I just talked with Matt Regeer yesterday. Is he younger than you when he became Speaker?
Actually, I think Matt and I are exactly the same age. I think we both graduated high school the same year.
Okay.
So, all due respect, Mr. Speaker, I think I was younger when I got elected to the speakership than him. But I don't quote me on that.
No.
Like I tell people, maybe I was the youngest speaker, maybe I wasn't. I don't know. That $20 gets me on a Greyhound bus.
Yeah. There you go. I know, but it is kind of fun, right? You gotta, you know, it's these bragging rights. They can be nonsense, but they're still fun. This is not fun. The World Health Organization, they've got this new pandemic plan out there. I don't even really know what it's called, but I look at what the potential is in that plan, and I know that you have raised grave concerns about this. Share those concerns with us, please.
Well, this is one that just has absolutely lit up the phone lines and plugged up the mailboxes at my office, the people reaching out about this. What this is, so you have the World Health Organization. They are proposing a treaty for the U.S. to enter, and the Biden administration is seriously considering entering it, basically giving the World Health Organization pretty sweeping, scary powers to step in basically whenever they feel like there's a world health emergency. And that's a very nebulous term.
Yeah.
And it would purport, at least in the first version of that treaty, to give them police powers within the boundaries of the continental U.S. So that, I mean, that alone raises all kinds of constitutional questions. Yeah. And at the outset, I mean, any treaty the president enters into has to be ratified by the Senate. Like, that's black letter law in the U.S. Constitution. But this is still concerning stuff. And these emergencies, I'm going to put quotes around that. There's no real definition of when they could declare these emergencies. So, I mean, that raises a lot of questions for us. Can the World Health Organization declare climate change a World Health epidemic emergency that they need to step in and police the U.S.?
Yes, I would think. I mean,
it's stuff like that, yeah, that's hanging out here in the ether that no one's really wanting to talk about, especially out of the Biden administration. So what I did is I got together with a bunch of my colleagues, other state attorneys general who are like-minded, and we fired off a letter to the president, you know, basically warning him, you know, you don't want to do this. We are watching. This is a great way to have us do you again, and we'll win on this one. I mean, this is easy. This is black letter law. An international organization does not have legal authority in the U.S. And any attempt by any president, I don't care if it's Joe Biden or who it is, to cede our sovereign authority to an international body is flagrantly unconstitutional, and we will not stand for it.
Even if they call it an agreement and not a treaty? Right?
I think they could try to get cute with the terminology, but at the end of the day, it comes down to what will that agreement functionally do, and that's what the courts are going to look at, and that's certainly going to be our argument as well. So I don't think that this is likely to happen. I think even the Biden administration knows there are problems with this. And I say that because they have actually dialed down a lot of some of the more really egregious stuff in this treaty, in this proposal. They've toned it down pretty significantly from the first draft. Now, that does not assuage all my fears. I mean, there are still some real issues here. And the biggest one for me is just the fact that the president does not have authority to cede our sovereignty to any international body. Like that it has not the power that the executive branch possesses under the U.S. Constitution. Now, that has not stopped this president in the past from trying to do stupid garbage like this.
Right.
So, you know, I guess keep one hand on your wallet.
Well, and I remember, too, you know, I never thought that they would seriously consider tearing out Columbia River dams, Snake River dams. I for no reason did it ever make any kind of sense. It still doesn't. But guess what? They've got an agreement on the table to do just that. I mean, that's a lesson for us, too. You know, we think that this couldn't happen in this country, but we can't close our eyes. And I think that's what I appreciate about the work you've been doing there, Austin. You've really been a guard dog for us, I think, when it comes to our constitutional responsibilities. Thank you for that.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, even when I first ran for this job, Tom, I really didn't appreciate just what all the state attorney general does and can do. And you're right. I mean, and it's, whether it's me or whoever's in this office, that's the job of your state attorney general, is to keep an eye on what's coming out of Washington, D.C., and stand up for the citizens of the state and protect them against federal overreach and be that guard dog. I've had a lot of fun doing it. I'm glad we're here, and I'm really, really lucky that I've been able to assemble a just fantastic legal team here at the little old Montana Department of Justice. Cause look, we're not a big state. We're not a big player. You know, we're not a Texas. I don't have thousands of lawyers working for me at the State Department of Justice. I got a couple dozen. You know, but the fact that we've been able to put together such a team and really fight back on a lot of these anti-federalist, big government, centralized, progressive ideals and protect Montana citizens has been a lot of fun.
With Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson, as we look at, I want to get to the EPA. And again, Attorney General Knutson, thank you so much for being on the program and your expertise today. But as you know, as I mentioned, Stacey coming on, she was, you know, right in this war against drugs and fentanyl. You just had a Fentanyl Awareness Day, and I think it's appropriate to talk a little bit now about, you know, that's still a very dangerous top of mind thing for your officers, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Tom, fentanyl is the number one public safety concern in Montana.
Yeah.
Period. Hands down. Hard stop. Fentanyl has been just absolutely meteoric in its rise in Montana. So to put this in perspective for your listeners, our seizures of fentanyl off the streets, off the highways in Montana have increased 20,000% in the last 5 years. Now, I didn't misspeak there. 20,000%. That's exponential. That's a staggering amount. That tells you just how quickly the Mexican cartels have pivoted and are pushing this horrible, dangerous drug into Montana. I mean, we are just taking gargantuan amounts in our seizures, which is great. But what scares me is the ones that we miss, because we know some of these shipments are still going to get through. We've got limited law enforcement. I've got only a small number of Montana Highway Patrol. We're just not able to stop every vehicle that comes in the state. So we know we're missing these, but fentanyl is so dangerous. And for law enforcement, I mean, every situation you walk into is a potential overdose. I mean, just a small amount of fentanyl aerosol put into the air in powder form. And think about how often officers would encounter powder drugs. I mean, that has the potential to just put that officer on the ground right now and potentially kill him. So this is just horribly, horribly dangerous stuff, and we've got a huge problem with it in the state.
And we just don't need to rely on our law enforcement to solve this issue. It's got to be education in the school systems. It's got to be education in our communities in a lot of, and then those avenues to reach out for help as well, because it's a horribly addicting drug as much as it is dangerous as well. I think I read somewhere that it's the number one cause of deaths, I think, between kids 18 to 45 or something like that. I mean, just how, well, you talked about the meteoric rise of that. So just a note on that, people, it's not just up to our law enforcement. There are things that we can do to protect our communities as well. Going to move on a bit, because you've got a number of things here to bring up when it comes to the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. Like I said earlier, the waters of the U.S., the Supreme Court, they thought they knocked that agency back a little bit with that, but it, you know, with this administration, they just keep so you can tell I'm frustrated with them. Nebraska et al. Versus EPA. Talk about that suit.
Yeah, so that's one of the cases that I and a bunch of my colleagues, actually the 23 other state AGs in the Nebraska versus EPA. What this is a lawsuit because the EPA pushed out a sweeping rule that just basically said, well, we don't like big rigs. We don't like big trucks on the highway. We think they're icky. We think they're yucky. So we're going to mandate electric trucks and go.
Yeah.
Electric trucks, like, this doesn't exist, Tom. This is a fairy tale.
Yeah.
We are not able to big rig haul the commerce that people use every single day. You like getting Amazon delivered to your door? Guess what makes that happen? Over-the-road truck drivers. All right? If you think an electric truck is going to deliver your groceries or deliver your fuel or deliver your Amazon Prime shipment, I'd like to know what you're smoking. This is a fiction. It does not exist. This technology doesn't exist. It gets 40 below in Montana. What does that do to your car battery? And you think you're going to run a large truck hauling tons of cargo on a battery? That technology does not exist, Tom. You can tell I'm a little angry about this one because it is so stupid. Like, it is just the height of liberal fantasy. This is rainbows and unicorn dust.
It is.
So it's so frustrating. But yes, we filed suit against the administration over that rule. They shotgunned out a bunch of these here about a week and a half ago, and we filed suit on all of them. Look, the U.S. Supreme Court has made it very clear to the EPA. Just 2 short years ago, we had a landmark decision. It was called West Virginia versus EPA. And in that ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court slapped down the Environmental Protection Agency for one of these broad, sweeping rules just like this, and they told them flat out, don't you even think about trying to shut down coal-fired production of electricity in this country via rule. All right? I mean, they said that very expressly in this ruling 2 years ago.
Yes.
Guess what the EPA did last week?
Targeted coal strip.
They shotgunned out a huge sweeping rule. They thumbed their nose at the U.S. Supreme Court, and they did it anyway.
Yeah.
They issued two different rules that are basically meant to shut down all coal-fired electricity generation in the country. I mean, there's just not a nice way to say that. I mean, again, in those two cases, we sued. Tom, it's whack-a-mole. This administration is out of control. They are promulgating by rule things that should go through the Congress. If you want to shut down coal-fired electricity in the country, go to Congress, pass a bill, get it through the House, get it through the Senate. Go watch Schoolhouse Rock, would you? That's how you make law in this country. You don't get to do it by administrative rule.
There's a release out I would point you guys to from Attorney General Austin Knutson. So go to the DOJ website and look that up. West Virginia, North Dakota versus EPA, Oklahoma versus EPA, a number of states' attorneys general joining the coalition here to fight back on that. Austin, as we got like a couple minutes left, but talk about this coalition, so to speak. Talk about, I know they're going to be mostly conservative attorney generals, but do you guys, I don't know how to ask the right question here. Do you feel like you're going to be successful? You're going to keep pushing back? How determined is this group?
We're extremely determined. And I think our likelihood of success is very, very high. I mean, again, given recent precedent, that West Virginia versus EPA case, I can't overstate the importance of that case. That was a watershed case coming out of the U.S. Supreme Court that basically has implications not just for environmental regulation. The Supreme Court made it very clear they don't like these big sweeping agency actions, and that sweeping law change, policy change, needs to come through the Congress. That's who's got the power here. So I think our likelihood of success is extremely high. Look, this all might be for naught, because if Donald Trump gets elected, I think a lot of these regulations get peeled back. I think that's a big reason that the administrative state right now under Joe Biden is in a panic, and they're shoving so many of these regulations out now. But one way or the other, we're going to prevail here. This is flagrantly unconstitutional.
I appreciate the work, Austin. I know it's a burden, and I'm glad to hear that it's something that you live for, so to speak, protecting our rights. And so thank you for that. And I look forward to chatting with you in studio whenever you get to Billings next time. All right, sir?
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to be there at Northern Broadcasting.
Yeah, thank you. Austin Knutson again. And thanks all your officers too, Austin. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there too.